It's reality. No self at all. Until everything is reality, mental phenomena or physical phenomena. I think that is the most interesting object to know, to understand, because it's everywhere. In the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the bus, everywhere. Realities, yeah. Never miss at all. Always there. But it depends on ignorance or right understanding, which experiences it. When there is no interest, no understanding, it's not the way to understand it at all, because it just arises and falls away in split seconds, so rapidly. So it needs the listening to the teachings accumulated enough to condition a moment of samma, the right awareness, to be conditioned to arise. Otherwise, no conditions for such moment at all. Just learn to understand what is not understood before. To be your own understanding from the very beginning, it is only intellectual understanding, as long as there is no conditions for right awareness to be directly aware. And it's according to what you have learnt, every word.
Direct understanding takes
Don't
time.
Don't think about that. Because it's not now. See, even to understand intellectually is not easy at all.
No.
It takes time to. That's why the Buddha to be, the Bodhisattva, thought again and again over how to understand that which is now appearing. And akusala, unwholesomeness, cannot understand that at all, no matter what kind of akusala. So it needs the accumulation of kusala to have less attachment and all akusala, so that it can be pure enough or clean enough to really understand the nature of whatever appears now. Very natural. It has to be like that. The teachings just talk about naturally developing understanding. Because now we sit according to the accumulation. Yeah. Different posture. No need to change. So what change if it changed? If it's changed, it's by attachment. Just want it to be that way in order to get something. But when it started with ignorance, what one gets is ignorance, more and more.
When I was chatting to Lan at breakfast this morning, a comment was made about how it seems so difficult when we talk about the natural way, because there is so much attachment and ignorance, and many people, not just Lam, many people say, well, if it's just waiting for it the natural way, then maybe in 1 year, one moment of awareness,
waiting.
Or it's very slow, very little.
But you see that why thinking about waiting for natural way, it's natural already. So natural.
I mean, why now we have already heard or read about the basic things like experience through one of the six sense door, but the right understanding or mindfulness arise and pass away not very often. So
what do you mean by not very often?
Let's say like just arise and pass away, and then long time after that arise and pass away is not frequently.
How do you know that there is no arising and falling away of anything right now? It is the way it is. Just arise and falls away by conditions. Who knows or not, it doesn't matter at all, because it has to be that way.
Yes, so how is to develop?
Understanding or what?
Yes.
Begin to understand, just one word at a time, which explain or talk about reality right now, to understand or check by yourself whether it's real or not. The word is true or not. Like seeing is natural. Hearing is natural. But no understanding. Who can have such understanding immediately? While there are avijja and ignorance and other unwholesome realities accumulated from moment to moment, from life to life, long, long time ago until now. It's there, covers up everything which appears, arises and falling, and falls away. Because it's not you or anyone, it's only ignorance which does not know. Whenever it arises, it cannot understand what appears as it is. Not you. Ignorance.
So just accept
that? No one accepts. Understand. And understanding is not you either. Understand. Understands. No one there.
I think your question is, how can awareness or understanding become more
often.
Yes. Continuous, more frequent?
Yes.
What about just once?
I think it's sometimes it can arise, one can arise and pass away.
But like now?
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's not clear of what object, which appears now.
It can be touching consciousness.
It can be, but does it? Or is it now aware?
Yes, it is.
How do you know that it is aware? How can
when
anyone
experience
know?
The
experiencing is only experiencing. Understanding is another thing. Who knows that this is not hard at moment of touching? That is a reality which experiences hardness, ordinary, no understanding. And it falls away. And there is thinking a lot about it. And that is not understanding.
So now we might have understanding by theory.
Yes.
About that. So how to become practical?
It's not a matter of how. When there's the thinking about how, who, it's me again. No understanding of Dhamma, reality, anatta-ness at all. In order to have the confidence of anatta and Dhamma, there must be more hearing and considering whether can you do anything? Is there you at moment of seeing? If it's not yet clear, then there's the idea, how can I know that seeing now is not I? See? How can I know that seeing is not I? The only way is to think at this moment, what is the difference between that which is seen and that which experiences it? See? Even just that takes time to develop. To really understand it's not I at all. But before it can be not I at all, there must be just a little by little understanding developed. At moment of knowing, seeing right now, the difference between that which is seen and that which experiences it. It's not only the word that we say that nama experiences and rupa is experienced, that's the word. Even we don't use any word, seeing is not that which is seen. No I in it. No I any time at all. Because experiencing is a reality which can experience. Whenever it arises, it experiences the whole night, no matter its moment of sleeping or waking up. No I at all. Like now, no I. So no one can have such understanding by thinking, how can I do to understand this? But by understanding at moment of hearing about it and not forget that it's here now. Anytime it is a level of awareness, when panya is there, that you know that you cannot understand anything which does not arise, does not appear. So now it appears because it has risen and is there for right understanding to develop to see. Whether seeing now is I, not how can I know that it's not I. But learn to understand that seeing now it's a reality. No one can condition it to arise. Some would say, I open my eyes so I can do. But when there is no conditions like the eye base, even you try to open your eyes, there is no seeing. So when there is a question, how can I, or the way to know, that is not the understanding of reality as reality. The I of self is there. No matter how long you study Dhamma and you think that you understand, but when such question arise, it shows instantly that there is no understanding. Just read and think the word, like Nama, Rupa, visible object and seeing, but not really understand that. What is seeing? Why is not I and why is not self? And in a lifetime, there's not just seeing. Every moment is not self. Different realities, that's all. We learn many subjects and we think that the other subjects are very interesting. But comparing to what appears now, is it not interesting to understand? Because it's life. So when you are alone in the forest, very quiet, what is the understanding? See? What is the understanding? Impossible if there is no hearing and considering at all. We are not Sammasambuddho, the enlightened one. As much as one can be, is Savaka, the listeners. Why do we have teacher? To learn to understand, not to be told to do.
I think the point that Lan and many other people make is that they agree there can be awareness and understanding of realities such as seeing an invisible object anywhere here or in the forest just the same, but because there is so much ignorance and little understanding, they think it needs some special training first, such as their practice in the other place or coming here to listen and study, which they see as also another kind of training. Is that correct?
Oh, it can be both, listening, reading, and both changing the mind.
You like to be alone? You like to be in a quiet place?
Not really.
Not really? So why go?
Why not go? Why not go?
Because you don't like. What do you do when you don't like but you go? So the question is whether, do you like to be in a quiet place?
I think same at my house or other place also same.
No need to go anywhere.
But I can go or cannot go, or may go. It doesn't different
do
go or not go.
Do you have any special thing in your mind for to go? Or conditions only? We come here by conditions. And I think that next year we have conditions to go somewhere like Radbury, Sun Pueng, very nice place. Yeah. We enjoy the place, see? We enjoy the place here too. Not just come to because you don't like but you come. But one has to understand reality at such moment, whether it's attachment or opportunity to have talk about realities in such a place, very fine. Whether not now.
I like being in a quiet place.
Mm-hmm. For how long?
Long time?
For years or months or days?
I'm not sure until I'm in the quiet place.
No one else at all? Just you in the quiet place? Mm. You have time to be alone many, many times in a day. That's not enough. You need more. You like more to be alone. You don't want to see friends. You don't want to watch television at all. What do you do then when you are alone?
Mm-hmm. Think.
But now there is thinking. You see that you don't know what thinking is and you just want to think, but you think all day unknowingly. Thinking is thinking. It cannot be seeing. It cannot be hearing. It cannot be attachment because thinking, a reality which touch on the experiences which has accumulated. Because when you think of what? People, things, or what?
People, things, but learning to not try to let the thought arise and fall away without clinging to it.
You like to think alone, you mean? Because you like to be alone in quiet place, and when you are in such place, you think, you like to think. So think about what? People and things. Or what? Or events? You are thinking right now. But you like to think in special place.
I think the outside life wouldn't be the condition for a lot of seem to be wasteful thinking or waste doing, and almost the time forgetful, don't remember anything.
Yeah, when there is no understanding. But when there is understanding, no matter where you are, there are things around you which can be understood, and that's the way to develop understanding of anything, because you cannot control.
It might develop better of understanding.
See, who thinks like that? Who thinks like that? See?
When has the good Lopa,
Lopa tries to turn you away from now, hoping, wishing, that can be right condition, but the right condition is understanding. Intellect understanding will condition the direct understanding. So if the intellectual understanding is not enough, nowhere to have the direct understanding, no matter where you are.
Can that be that understanding by theory a bit and understanding by practical a bit? Develop at the same time?
Yeah, from conditions. If there is no conditions, it cannot, awareness cannot arise.
Yes, so it can be not only that develop understanding by theory until one extent, then after
no
that,
one, what condition the direct understanding? You think that it is practicing, but it is direct understanding, not practicing at all. What you try, what you do, and what you think is having direct understanding with direct awareness. But that can never arise without the very well-established understanding of reality, which are only conditions for awareness and right understanding can arise.
Yes, so practicing can be mean that develop little by little the right understanding by practice.
Yeah, but Yunmo, I don't understand what practicing you're talking about.
I mean, practicing can be... Can
what is practicing? What is it that you
that,
call it that practicing?
That develop right understanding how by can? Experience little by little.
By doing what? That you say...
By experiencing the present moment.
What? Now? Now? Present moment?
Is this moment or next moment?
Is this practicing?
Can I call that?
I don't know, because you see in the teachings, there are many meanings of just one word, but all the teachings of Buddha have to do with understanding only. Each word will bring more and more understanding. Not just read and do and practice without any enough understanding.
I mean from moment to moment, if experience the reality at
now,
that moment.
Now we talk about now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
From now, from this moment and the moment, the next moment, that can be
how
the
can
way of practicing.
There be, how can there be moment of awareness? Not by anyone.
When not forgetful.
From where?
When not forgetful.
How do you know? Can you control? Like now, is that forgetfulness?
No, right now? No, don't forget.
So what is seeing if one does not forget to know it or to understand it? There is seeing right now. And when you say that it's not forget to understand, it has to be this moment. Did Buddha say about what should be learned? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, and other realities in the day, visible objects, sound, and so on. That which is at this very moment. So practicing is no one. But the development of understanding, conditioned by intellectual understanding, so very well, no doubt about anatta, no doubt about reality, no doubt about not future moment, which hasn't come, or previous moment, like yesterday, which was gone, But now, when Panya when right understanding understands, it understands what appears now. Developing by learning to know that what is it which sees. Or it might not be seeing anything which appears. What is it? What is it? And then the answer is the development of understanding.
So now we don't call that practicing, we call that developing.
Usually when people use the term meditation, it's not clear at all. Or practicing. What practices? Not you, but right understanding, right awareness, right effort, right concentration, or right, not wrong. It indicates that usually there's wrong, not right, until one learns to understand the difference between the right and the wrong. Right awareness, see? It's no one at all. It can arise by conditions only. But many people who do not have any understanding of realities, they go to the meditation center, hoping to understand without any understanding. But the teaching is not like that. Stage by stage, step by step. That's why he taught for 45 years, because he knew that even he said about anatta, no one can have anatta at all. The idea of self is there. So he took time for 45 years to have conditions for awareness and right understanding of whatever appears now. The listener must listen very carefully too, not being counted just by how many years I've learned or read. 10, 20, 40, doesn't have any meaning at all when there is no understanding.
And when you say, now I'm not forgetful, what does that mean, now I'm not forgetful?
One, remember about what can be experienced by one of the six sense though, not thinking of outside.
There's always thinking about outside, because as soon as you see something, there's thinking about it. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that it was a person.
But then can know about the thinking. Then don't forget. When got lost in the outside world, totally forgetful.
But when there's thinking about the visible object, that is thinking about the outside world. So, like when there's hearing of sound, in order to understand the words that are spoken, there has to be thinking. So thinking goes on all the time.
Not a good way of developing understanding when I got lost in the sound of bird, or I got lost in the beautiful scenery.
Is that moment not reality?
Excuse me?
Is attachment not a reality?
But at that time, I don't have any idea of that being attached.
So there is selection to understand only this or that by the self, not letting go away. Even the selection, because each moment is conditioned. How can you know what would arise next moment to be object of awareness? Whether awareness arises or not, by conditions. So no expectation of what should be the object of understanding at all, because it hasn't arisen yet. But now it has arisen, it appears. So only this which appears would be the object of understanding. When one understands that nothing else are at this moment, only that reality which appears.
Yes, I agree that if I remember.
I forget.
If there is a remember about what is.
You begin to understand anatta. You begin to understand only when there are conditions not to be forgetful.
Because if Lan there is thinking about birds and trees, like even now we're having Dhamma discussion and there's hearing of sounds and thinking of birds and people, and this is just very common and ordinary. So the goal is not to stop thinking about birds and to stop having attachment. The purpose is to develop detachment with understanding, just accept and understand whatever appears. If there's thinking about birds and attachment, these are realities that can be known too. So it's not trying to change the way things are, like trying to not think about what has been seen or heard, but just understand whatever appears, just naturally, easily. Otherwise it's always the idea of I being aware, being forgetful, not thinking in this way, having more wholesomeness now, not just accepting with detachment whatever occurs, whatever arises. Because it's by conditions, actually. No one can stop thinking about birds if the conditions to think about birds. And it doesn't matter at all, just conditioned dhammas. It doesn't matter in the slightest whether the object of understanding is attachment or calm now. They're both dhammas.
So how about the effort then? If keep on let the mind wandering outside.
By conditions. Remember, by conditions, not self.
Is that have the intention is one of the conditions?
Intention. You know that it's not self?
Yes.
When do you know that it's not self?
Actually, by theory, but normally think that I have the intention to do something.
And then at that moment, it's you who intend, or you understand intention?
Mostly it will be that I have the intention to go here or to do
anything. So it's not the understanding of intention at all, as conditioned reality.
But it seems that like intention often with the eye.
Can anything arise without condition?
Some other thing can arise, seem to be naturally
arise. What can arise without conditions?
Nothing can arise without conditions.
Okay, condition. Keep this word.
Yes.
So intention arises by conditions.
Yes.
Not you.
Effort arises by conditions.
So can have the intention to do this and that.
By conditions.
Yes.
No you.
So that condition seem to be controllable.
No. Intention arises with each citta, with each moment. Control it. How can anyone do? It has conditions to arise with each moment already. Whatever you are talking about, it's there by conditions. Even right now, there's intention to speak. It's there by conditions. Is there intention at moment of seeing?
By theory, it must be there.
By theory means the truth. not just by theory.
Yes, I agree. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. So it does mean that you understand intention as not self. While Buddha said that all dhammas are anatta, not self. We have to consider until we understand that. Otherwise, there's I somewhere, sometime, and whenever it arises as I, panya, right understanding, can see that actually it's conditioned. But if there's no understanding, there is always self there. At moment of intention, at moment of seeing, at moment of thinking. So only panya sees or understands that nothing can be self, nothing can belong to anyone, no one can control it. And this is right understanding. But when there is the idea of sometime, I can control, that's wrong. Not really understand.
But it seems that I have the intention to do this instead
intention
of doing
intention is intention, but not you at all. Intention has such characteristic. It performs its function. It appears as it is. It has its own proximate cause to arise. No one there. Just learn to understand what is intention, which is different from other reality. What about virya? It's not intention. Sometimes there can be intention without virya, and sometimes there must be virya with intention. To understand that no matter when and where, intention is not self. Each reality is not self. It's different by its own nature, by its own characteristic. When there is no understanding, it's I again intend to do, but actually, if intention is not there, no, nothing can perform the function of intention. That's why we learn to understand each reality by way of characteristic, appearance, and proximate cause.
It seems that behind the intention to do something, it's very motivation behind that.
So, intention arises with lopa, attachment, or intention arises with dosa, aversion, and intention arises with right understanding. But intention is intention, no matter it arises with what reality. When you intention to open your eyes or blink your eyes, what accompany such intention?
After that intention?
Not after, just then. At moment of blinking the eyes. Is that intention?
It seems to be automatically.
What do you mean by that?
It's too fast.
Because no understanding, it seems like that. But when there is understanding, there can be direct awareness of a reality, whether it's intention or whether it's hardness or softness, right then. Because in one's life or any life, any time, there must be realities, otherwise there's no life. But realities are realities. Attachment is attachment. Without desire or attached or wanting to blink, the eye cannot do that. It cannot move. But even it's conditioned by citta, it does not experience anything. It does not receive any order from citta. But whenever citta wants something, the rupa move to get that. So citta conditioned rupa because the dead cannot move anything at all. The body cannot move without citta. So intention has to arise with each citta. when the understanding of the teaching is not good enough, there must be wrong understanding about realities. One takes intention for I or something, attachment for I, aversion for I, seeing for I all day. And when one studies, one knows that, oh, this is not I, but somewhere it's I. Sometime, some situation is I, because lack of understanding, or at that moment there is no conditions for understanding to arise, to understand. So ignorance is there, attachment is there, idea of self is there.
Does the wrong view arise together at the moment with seeing or hearing or touching?
No, not with seeing. In Pali word, there are two different words, uppatti, for the ten cittas, seeing, kusala vipaka, or kusala vipaka, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, only the ten is uppatti, but the rest are nippatti. So one can see why Buddha used different terms, because in one's life, no moment it's like seeing now at all. They can be thinking about what is seen, but it's not the actual seeing. In a dream, it seems like one goes somewhere, do something, talk to someone, but not like seeing and hearing, the actual seeing and hearing. That's why only ten jitas are uppatti. Quite different, because usually one might not realize that one lives in darkness all day if there is no visible object appearing. It's so dark at moment of hearing, no light, moment of thinking, no light. But it seems opposite. It seems like there's light all day, not dark at all. But in reality, when Panya is there, it opens up the truth of life. From one moment to another moment. It seems like in the dark world, there's nothing but that which experiences, right? In darkness. And there are five spots, very, very little. There can be light at just one spot. And there can be sound appear at one spot, just very, very rapidly, after that, all dark, even thinking. But it doesn't seem like that because of ignorance. So the teachings or intellectual understanding will bring more understanding and less ignorance. And when realities appear, just exactly like what Buddha taught. Otherwise, it's not that level of Panya, because he had experienced all the truth, so he told us all about the truth of each moment, each doorway. At that moment of understanding, clearly, it has to be like that. So there can be the understanding of even the word uppatti, not for other cittas at all. Only ten, because quite different from at moment of thinking about it. When we are watching TV or cinema, there is thinking after seeing all the time in darkness. But the rapidity of the succession of light and memory seems that there is thinking while there is seeing. But actually, darkness more than light. When it's clear, it knows the difference.
And so, yeah, a wrong view has to arise only with the akusala jitas rooted in lobha, some akusala jitas rooted in lobha, at the moment of seeing or hearing the upati jitas, no attachment, no aversion, no ignorance at those moments, only afterwards when the akusala jitas arise.
Is there intention at moment of seeing?
Yes, if wrong view does not arrive together with that moment, so if my phone on present moment, it wouldn't be good.
But you see that even the question about intention, whether there is intention or not at moment of seeing, the understanding of seeing as a reality is not the moment of understanding. Intention arises with it. It's the moment of understanding that which sees only. The experiencing is in darkness, but what it experiences is light. No one there. Is there virya with seeing? Virya is effort. No, does it arise with seeing? How do you know, see? You are Savaka, the listeners. You cannot be like the Sammasambuddho. But you can study and learn to understand why jitas are different. The vipaka, the result, is different from the cause. And the cause will condition what type of vipaka or result. Some with virya, some without virya. So in a day, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are conditioned by 7 jetasikas only, not more than that. Who knows? So it does mean that one knows intention at moment of seeing. One learns to understand what seeing now is.
And no understanding or awareness at the moment of seeing either, because you said there's no wrong understanding. It's good because there can be awareness, but not at the moment of seeing. Only 7 chetasikas.
From then you know that, oh, I begin to understand that intention is uncontrollable. No one can make it arise. It's not my intention. It's not I intend. But it has its characteristic as intention. So the vipaka intention is different from kusala intention and akusala intention. But intention is intention. Depending on what conditions it, when karma conditions it, it's not like akusala, unwholesome intention, or wholesome intention. Otherwise, Buddha didn't teach for 45 years because so very, very difficult to have awareness of seeing until there are right conditions for right awareness to arise, to be aware. And there must be right understanding, otherwise nothing can condition right awareness. So anyone who thinks that they don't have any understanding but they can have right awareness is wrong. No expectation, but when will it arise? Like next moment, who knows what will arise?
And no minding or thinking how much or how little or how fast or how slow or waiting or not waiting, because it just depends on conditions. So when there's an idea that we have an intention to come here, in reality, do we have any intentions to do anything?
Intention, but not my.
This is the way to learn all dhammas are anatta, no self. But by only theoretical understanding, it cannot eradicate the very deeply rooted idea of self until right understanding develops little by little. It's like cleaning the mind.
What we think of as my intention to do something, speaking in the conventional sense, no. Just different dhammas. And they include, of course, the dhamma of intention, but also usually they would include attachment, wanting, expecting certain results, wanting things to happen. It's not pure intention, the dhamma of intention. It's a situation type thing. So wanting to have more awareness is not a matter of kusala intention. It's a matter of, because by definition, wanting to have more awareness means there isn't awareness now and we want to have it. So it's attachment leading us on. Possibly wrong view too. Definitely wrong view.
Is there intention to come here for this time together, but to have no expectation on anything, just to listen?
You had intention to come here, right? You know what would happen, the words about what?
No.
See?
Intention to come here to actually physically get myself here.
Like intention to eat, intention, because intention arises with each citta. But kusala, wholesome intention, is from a kusala intention, and the result, the intention which arises with the resultant citta is different from the cause. Did you have intention to see for today?
No.
No, but that is by conditions, yeah. Do you know that you have intention to speak like this?
No.
No, but it's conditioned. Everything is conditioned. Without conditions, nothing can arise. Even thinking, we think differently because of different accumulation. We cannot exchange experiences which condition the thinking. Everything shows the anatta-ness, uncontrollable, like the sound. No one knows before that the sound is like this.
And I don't think we've really talked much about cause and result. I think you're familiar with the word karma. And so when there is kusala or wholesome ways of thinking, this can lead to good deeds, for example, moments of generosity or kindness. And when there's unwholesome ways of thinking, this can lead to unwholesome deeds, such as when one harms another person. And such good or bad deeds, which we can call karma, actually it's the intention at that time, can bring results. So the seeing and the hearing we've been talking about, this is actually the result of good or bad karma in the past.
So now you know what karma is? What is it? Karma? What is it?
Cause and effect.
Karma itself.
Is the cause.
Oh, is the cause.
And what reality is karma?
Lam can say. Actually, it's the Chaitanya. Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Attention.
See, it seems like we understand what we are talking about. Mm-hmm. But actually, there must be understanding of each word. When there's the understanding of this word, then it will bring more understanding of other word, because they are related, all dhammas.
So when there is the intention to perform a good deed at that moment, and there is the performing of that deed, it is that intention that is actually karma that can bring its result in future.
What about if we don't call it intention? Is it there? Or do we have to call it intention? Or do we have to call it karma? No need. Yeah, it has its own characteristic, its own function.
We've just named it that.
Right. So sometimes name hinder the understanding, like the word Dhamma. Many people just want to study Dhamma, to learn to understand Dhamma. But what is Dhamma? See, the word only, but that which is now appearing, it has a reason, otherwise it cannot appear. No matter we call it this or that, it's a reality.
So and we're just beginning to distinguish between the cause and the result, to see these are different kinds of realities.
Is seeing the cause or result?
I'm not sure.
See, we talk a lot, we talk about cause, result, but when we talk about a reality, we don't know whether it's cause or result until we learn to see why is this, not that. If someone said that it's result, you get that, but you don't know why. See, just take it for granted its result. That's not enough. That's not understanding. That's why it has to be your own understanding. It's not the other's understanding which tell you about it. What is the first result in this life?
Is no result.
I mean, isn't result wanting something?
Result is not wanting.
So, for example,
in the sense we are using the term cause and result.
For example, if there was no result, there wouldn't be any birth consciousness, there wouldn't be the first moment of life, that the very first moment of life only arises because there has been a cause in the past, karma in the past. So it's the very first result.
Yeah, this is all very new to me.
Yeah, everyone for everyone, not just for you. So you see that we lived in this world with ignorance until we listen to the words which can give us the understanding.
And talking about cause and result,
yesterday evening we were just, David was bringing up the topic of dependent origination a little bit. Beginning with ignorance. Did you want to bring anything up about it, David?
Can you give him a microphone?
Just test the feedback.
So this is talking more about cause and result.
After the conversation yesterday, just in the evening, I started thinking about dependent origination. And I thought I would read a little about it. And of course, what came up was ignorance, clinging, and attachment as the cause of birth and the cause of suffering. And my understanding of karma is very limited, if much at all. And I think that I would like to hear a little bit more about karma.
I would like to.
It would be nice to hear.
Because you see that everyone expects or hope to gain something from reading, but not the understanding of whatever appears, which will lead to what you'd like to hear about, with more and more understanding.
What led me to want to hear this is about the nature of anatta and the way everything is conditioned, and that the way that everything is outside of our control, and how that karma is an aspect of that function of anatta.
Would you like to hear about Ariya Satta, the Four Noble Truths?
Of course.
Of course. See? But you see that if there is no understanding of whatever appears now, it's impossible even to understand ignorance as paticca-samuppada, dependent origination at all. Shall we say that we live with attachment from time to time? And whenever there is attachment, there is ignorance. So everything goes on and on and on while there is ignorance. Is this enough? And it will not be like this only when there is right understanding. The opposite of the paticca-samuppada. See? So just from now, the way to understand avijja, which conditions sankhara, we have to understand what is sankhara. And at this moment, there is thinking with or without avijja. See, so as long as there is avijja, there is attachment. So life keeps on, paticca-samuppada, while there is still avijja. Just learn the truth and then add more and more understanding from understanding what appears now. Like, what is sankhara? Now you begin to understand what avijja is. Ignorance. There is attachment because there is ignorance, right? So ignorance conditions attachment. Can we say that attachment is sankhara too, in terms of sankhara dhamma? But when we talk about the sankhara khanda, attachment is not the sankhara khanda, it's only sankhara dhamma, because our intention with akusala, like lobha, attachment and aversion, are conditioned by avijja. See, we can begin with understand this and then that and then this and then that and all around. So at this moment of wanting something, doing something with attachment, avijja is there to condition sankhara. Wholesome deeds or unwholesome deeds, depending on not knowing or understand the nature of reality as only different elements. When you talk about elements, you know that it does not belong to anyone. Heat element, heart element, thinking element, experiencing the object is the element which can experience an object. That's all. by understand element, there can be the understanding of no self. So now when we talk about wholesome deeds like now, listening to the teachings, why? To have right understanding, otherwise there's no understanding at all. Is this karma or sankhara or kusala? Some say that, oh, I do not do anything, just sit and hear. How can it be karma? See, for them they have to do something like giving dana or so forth, or killing, or depending on whether it's wholesome or unwholesome deeds, speech. But actually, at moment of sitting and listening, is the highest wholesome karma. Because at that moment, no one is listening. Virya is there, trying to understand the word which represents reality, like element, see, just element. Virya arises with citta after hearing and understanding the meaning of the sound as virya. But one has to find out the nature of virya, a reality which is different from attachment. It's that which supports other reality which arise together to keep on going. Like keep on going with attachment, keep going on with aversion or with right understanding. And this is karma, a work or a, what you call it, which is like body and speech, but it's the mind, the function of the mind, the responsibility of the mind, or what you call it, the duty of the mind at that moment. So it's karma. Because for the word karma, it's not the body. The body cannot be karma. But the mind or the citta, which is wholesome, condition the body to give or to help. And when it's akusala, it kill or steal, see, depending on the citta. So the body itself cannot experience anything, so the body is not karma. But the intention to do is karma. Like now, intention to listen, to develop understanding. And when understanding is there, it's the best karma in the world. So we have to understand this, so we understand that. Avicca condition this as long as there's no direct understanding of any reality. So avicca is there. That's why the arahata doesn't have kusala. They do not have akusala and kusala dhamma at all, because there's no ignorance.
So the karma produces results, but we don't understand that it produces its results when conditions are such that it those results can be realized, they can be actuated.
It begins with understanding Dhamma, not self, but different elements, different realities.
So the result of studying is not to be expected simply because one had listened now and then immediately.
So one takes understanding for I understand. One takes moment of ignorance as I am ignorant. But actually it's the accumulation of both from time to time. Like why one is wise with our conditions, it's ignorance. So it's very subtle, very fine matters to study in order to know exactly, not just think, oh, I think I have awareness at moment of seeing, no understanding at all. no understanding what right awareness is. So there's just thinking that I am aware. Actually, it's not awareness, because I am.
And we have no idea when
karma, like this karma now, when whilst listening, will bring its result, just like the seeing which arises now. We have no idea what karma brought about this result. It's no point in trying to speculate. It's unknowable.
But the natural tendency for people is to assume that their actions are bringing certain results and so on and so forth.
But no understanding of realities.
This isn't true at all.
No.
So as long as there can be the understanding that since there are still ignorance, no matter what one is doing, it cannot eliminate ignorance just by doing, only by understanding. So one understands that even its wholesome deeds, ignorance is there. So it's conditioned by ignorance, like the first Paticchasamuppada, avijja conditioned sankhara. So just begin to understand, so there would be no doubt about the other realities, which are Paticchasamuppada. All depends on understanding. Do you have avijja, ignorance now? Mm-hmm. See? Okay. Wholesome deeds, but still avijja is the underlying. Mm.
So at the moment of seeing or hearing, no new karma will be created?
It's the result of karma. It's finished.
And then that seeing don't create new karma in the future.
Seeing is vipaka, the result, cannot do anything because it is conditioned by karma just to see.
Just the result.
Result only. No, the cause for new karma.
But after that, unwholesome akusala is there. After seeing.
Moment after moment, all seeing or hearing or this thing.
After seeing.
Then
after hearing.
New karma.
Akusala or kilesa begins to arise. There's a lot of it ready to come out after seeing, being attached, and ignorance is there. See? By conditions.
And David, when people talk about results of deeds in terms of situation, like sitting in a pleasant place or eating nice food, or the result of bad karma, not having money or not having enough to eat or having one's house flooded again, it's not understanding at all about what karma or vipaka really is, because it has to only refer to realities. So even while eating delicious food, actually moments of kusala vipaka, result of good deeds, and akusala vipaka, result of bad deeds. For example, moment of eating a chili or something. So different moments, different jitas, followed by different kinds of kusala and akusala. So it has to be very precise, back to this moment, seeing and hearing as result, followed by kusala or akusala, which is cause.
So if I see something, seeing sees visible object, and then it's unpleasant, and then dosa arises, and it's expressed in a way which harms someone. So the seeing, which was vipaka, has fulfilled its function, and then it's gone to Chetana to commit an akusala act.
What?
The after seeing, and dosa arises from this
from
result of seeing.
And dosa doesn't arise from the result of seeing, does it? Dosa arises because it's accumulated.
Okay, and the condition for its arising, is that, could that not be seen?
Okay.
Seen unpleasant, visible.
And arahata sees.
Right.
And after that?
He has no kusala, so just seen.
Yeah, so different
but
conditions.
But he sees unpleasant objects.
So I think what I'm getting,
In general, you're right, of course, that if a pleasant object is experienced, there's attachment. If unpleasant object is experienced, there'll be aversion. And subsequently, there can be, for example, harsh speech arising following the aversion. So there is a sequence. So there must be some relationship.
Right. I'm trying to draw the connection between vipaka, which is result of karma, and the creation of new karma, which in turn will bring its result at some point.
But the vipaka is the consciousness that experiences the object.
Right, and that's whereas, the end result.
Whereas it's the object that is a condition of some sort for the aversion.
Yes.
Not the vipaka. Because yes, vipaka is the jitta.
I understand that. Mm. I think that's understood. Mm.
So there's no relationship between the vipaka and the subsequent kamma. Only between the unpleasant or unpleasant object and the subsequent kamma.
Okay, I guess I'm trying to get a clarification on the conditions that generate new kamma.
Well, there's intention all the time, so...
Right, but it doesn't always produce result. It's not...
But it's... If it doesn't produce result right then, it accumulates and produces result later.
When it's... The intensity is enough mm-hmm. for it to mm-hmm. be expressed. Mm.
When everything is by condition and non-self, uncontrollable, then no trace the problem about frequently or powerful or continuous or right. wholesome or effective. Is that?
No problem, right.
No improvement.
No, that's
a different thing altogether. You said no problem about, meaning there's...
No more questions about those things? No
right, because there's that. The understanding that the frequency depends on conditions, not on our
yes.
wish to have more.
By condition, yes. So no... No question and no answer for those things, for those items, for those issues.
Conditions for them.
Conditions for more understanding.
Yeah, for more understanding, for more wholesome.
By conditions.
For improvement.
Well, these are all words for the arising of understanding, whether we call it more or frequent or continuous or powerful. It just means the same thing, that understanding is being developed at different moments.
And develop or not develop also by condition, so no raise that issue anymore. Is that develop?
Yes, the Buddha talked about development, bhavana, of course.
But uncontrollable also.
That's what we're talking about here today. But understanding cannot be developed unless there's an understanding of dhammas and their characteristic of not-self. So there has to be intellectual understanding of these things before there can be any substantive development. Otherwise we think we're developing understanding, but it's not.
Lan has a question about headaches.
Obviously that we all see the difference between the different state when not headache and headache, and stomach ache and not stomach ache, or concentrated or wandering. So what is the difference between, it seems like when bring back to one moment which is experienced by one of the six sense door, it's like a know about Dhamma in detail. But is there any, how about the whole of that? When many Dhamma arise all together or one after moment for a period of time, it will bring the different state.
We have to talk about one reality at a time to really understand the difference between why it is like this and it brings things like that, while the other doesn't bring such and such as that reality. So just one reality at a time.
So is there any reality which is the, like the whole state?
Like what?
What do you mean, the whole state?
It means that the state when not headache and the state when headache seriously, it's a difference.
What is that? At that very moment that you call it headache?
Because it would be the many dhammas arise all together at that moment, become to bring up to that feeling.
What is ache?
And its expression of that ache is the heart, heart, the heart needs.
You mean the feeling or what?
Yes, the feeling.
Hardness. So, for example, like now there's experience of hardness, right? Well done, Tukin.
Feeling, pain, ache.
Yes.
So it's a kind of feeling.
Yes, the kind of feeling, and its expression now wouldn't be that strong hardness or strong hardness.
When pain arises, is pain hard or soft, or is just pain?
It just pain. But
so pain is not hardness.
But the rupa together.
We don't talk about rupa. We don't talk about anything. We just talk about pain.
At that time, the only one experience is that pain. But at the same time, that rupa.
That is thinking. But in order to really understand pain, there must be awareness of just one object.
Yes, at one time the mind can experience only one object, but at that time,
later, not together. Because what you call pain is moment of experiencing what appears at the body, right?
Yes.
So the body is not pain. But whenever there is the experiencing of hardness, very strong hardness, at that moment pain arises. So there can be moment of thinking about pain, but not the object which conditions it, like a gun or whatever, see? Only pain appears to be known exactly that it's not you, this is the point. So the other moment is not you either. And the other moment is not you either. Different reality appearing one at a time.
Yeah, it is not experienced by that moment, but it's still arise and pass away.
Unknowingly, maybe. Because there's no experiencing of it, like seven jetasikas arise with one moment. Yes. What appears? Not the jetasika. Or it can be feeling one of the seven jetasikas. At that moment, the other realities do not appear. Just one object appear at a time. Because the experiencing the citta has the ekakata jetasika, one-pointedness jetasika, which not two, but only one at that moment. So citta, what can citta know is only a reality, one reality at a time by the ekakata jetasika, which concentrate or focus on just one object.
Yes, so even other dhamma unknown at that moment.
Right.
But it's then arrive at that moment.
It will become the
object for the next.
Depending on whether it is the object of an experience or not. Like now, there is sanya, memory, all the time. It does not appear. Seeing appears as seeing. But there must be many seven jetasikas with it when it arises. In order to understand, there can be the understanding of only that which appears. So when pain appears and there is thinking, it's not the same moment.
Yes, I know that it's not the same moment.
Object changes all the time because citta experiences different objects one at a time.
Yes.
Like now.
Yes.
So pain is not you. Thinking is not you. Seeing is not you.
But the state is different.
You call it state? What reality is there?
So, the extent or the level or the grade of the pain.
When there's no understanding
of life, of the mind.
When there's no understanding, I feel pain, my pain, I have pain, like that, when there's no understanding. But the understanding from learning, intellectual understanding, can condition thinking about that. It's not me. Even thinking is not the direct understanding of pain as just a reality. That's why there are conditions for awareness and right understanding to arise differently. Sometimes it's only wise thinking, not right awareness yet, but it's there. it doesn't think about other things, but it thinks, oh, this is just a reality. Pain is pain. And after that, when Panya understands better and better, it can be direct understanding of pain, nothing else, as just that which is pain.
Even that not experience the pain with that my pain, but it's still different when experience the light pain and when experience the strong pain.
I have light pain, I have strong pain. Pain is me.
But I think Lan's point is that the reasons why we name something headache and something else stomachache, or one strong headache and one mild headache, and that is because different dharmas have been experienced, and then there is different way of thinking about different realities which have been experienced.
Not the name, not only not the not name with this or that, but the level, the level, the difference between the states.
Because, for example, the tangible object at this moment of experiencing, and this moment of experiencing, the tangible object experienced, it's not the same, and even now, it's not the same. So even though it's hardness, it's not the same.
But when it's unpleasant, it will become attachment and become the problem.
So the bodily experience is vipaka, result of karma, and the citta experience is hardness or heat or pressure. And then, depending on accumulations, there will be thinking with attachment or aversion. But for the Buddha, no attachment or aversion following. So one is the vipaka, the result of karma, and this is followed by kusala or akusala.
So may I ask about the balanced mind and unbalanced mind?
What do you mean?
I read about one of the 16 states of my balance or unbalance, concentrated.
What does it mean?
That's what I want to ask you.
Wholesome mind, unwholesome mind. With wholesome mental factors and with unwholesome mental factors.
I think she may be referring to the balancing of the indriya, of the faculties, is that right?
Like in the study. I remember that I read somewhere that one of the 16 state of my balance or unbalanced, concentrated or unconcentrated.
You mean the cittanupasana sthipatthana?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, the indriyas in the...
When one does not have any understanding of citta, can one know whether it's balanced?
I think that sometimes experience that, but not very clear.
So one has to understand what's meant by balanced. For example, is seeing balanced mind? Pardon?
I think so.
And what about akusala, balanced?
Akusala, I think unbalanced.
So do you think that seeing is balanced and akusala is unbalanced? Right? Again, is seeing balanced?
I did answer that it balanced, but it seems that...
And what do you mean by seeing is balanced?
It seems that no... unwholesome.
So you mean that that which is not unwholesome is balanced?
Maybe not enough.
So what's the difference? Because you think that seeing is balanced, but seeing doesn't have any wholesome mental factor arising with it. So one can think a lot, just one word from Tipitaka, from what Buddha said, but it's one's own thought, not just study what he said.
That's why I come here to study for you.
Yeah, so you think that the unwholesome mental factors is balanced or unbalanced?
Unwholesome, I think, is not balanced.
Ajahn's question was the mental factors, right?
But she said that seeing consciousness is balanced, right, and unwholesome mental factors or realities are not balanced.
Because what you're referring to, I think, like, from what you've read in, with regard to Satipatthana, is referring to the balancing of wholesome factors like understanding and awareness and sadha, confidence and concentration and effort, but the moments of seeing, none of these, there is ekagata, but there isn't any sati or understanding or sadha, so it's seeing, it's just result. As we mentioned before, it's not wholesome, so no balancing at that time.
So right understanding about those 16 state of mind mentioned in Chittan Upasana is that the balance or the
is referred to
five bala, five power,
five indriyas, five balas.
In terms of balance or unbalance, it seems to be reasonable. But how about concentrated and unconcentrated, or liberated or unliberated, or some other couples? I don't know.
That's why we have to study citta one by one in order to really understand what is meant by such words. For example, seeing cannot be balanced citta. Otherwise, if you think it's balanced, why? Why is balance? That's why anyone who just thinks without studying carefully, that thinking is wrong. Because it's not with panya, right understanding.
And so when, for example, if there is a moment of understanding of citta, such as seeing or hearing or any other reality, at that moment of understanding, is there right concentration already at that moment? Is there right effort already at that moment of understanding? Is there right awareness at that moment?
I think so, but I'm still not clear about what I am asking about those 16 states.
What about just one at a time to continue to other until all 16? Types, included the jhana too, and there's no jhana right now. Who can imagine that level of citta with such right understanding, not at level of understanding reality, but at level of understanding what's wholesome and what is unwholesome? So at that moment, citta can be better than just having unwholesome factors. like kama vajra citta, rupa vajra citta, arupa vajra citta are included in citta anupasana satipatthana. All jitas are there. And when it's satipatthana, it means that awareness is aware of a certain citta, not any other, but just a certain one, to know better about that particular citta as not self. It has to go with right understanding of not self all the time, because it's citta, and citta is not self. Citta is citta. How many chati of jittas right now, daily life?
Chati. Planes or kinds of jitta, like we talked about kusala and akusala jittas, right? And we talked about vipaka jittas.
Yeah, mostly, I think almost kama vachara jitta.
Mm-hmm. Chati is by way of kusala, akusala, vipaka and kriya.
So now there are, within the Kama Vachara plane, there are kusala, akusala jitas, vipaka, and kriya. Kriya, the ones that are not, that are neither cause nor result.
I think, you know, it must be all of the four.
Yes. But it's only in the book. But it's now, when there is understanding. What follows, what citta follows, the seeing consciousness.
Mostly when we're thinking.
Kusala or akusala?
Akusala more.
Mm-hmm. And when is the kriya citta in the day?
Because when it how to say, so that can see or can
reverting citta before seeing, you mean?
Yeah, I think that's what I mean.
Yeah. Mm.
No one, no self. Just to learn to understand, even intellectually, but it can condition more understanding, to be conditions for direct awareness and direct understanding. So, in the beginning, what Panya knows, in the beginning, what Panya knows?
What is reality? What is concept?
That which appears as a reality. Or Dhamma. And that which cannot experience anything is real. And that which can experience is real. They are different. To see or to understand that there is no I, no self there at all, no matter here or there, in what plane of existence. What is taken for the moon? The moon.
Mm-hmm.
What a second. Mm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you think that you see the moon, a visible object?
Yeah.
But if it's not seen, can you call that, which is not seen as the moon? Only when it's seen with such shape, so it conditions the idea of the moon, not the sun.
Like, just like why headache, not stomach ache, why moon, not sun, it's just the same.
But the egg is the egg, see? And what do you take for head?
Many rupas.
Like what?
Hardness.
Okay. Have any question?
Processing.
New subject. Just about realities. Is seeing Thai or English, the seeing?
Seeing is seeing.
Right.
And having an ache is having an ache. When you name it, oh, I don't. I keep going back to the self.
Right,
whenever,
right,
even when I ask a
right,
question.
Yeah, and it's there, very deeply rooted.
Mm.
So very difficult to get rid. Without understanding, it's there, from life to life, from moment to moment.
And yesterday evening, Annie was trying to make her plans for her trip to Burma, and we were discussing about the difficulty of making plans and arrangements, and how one takes all the thinking for my difficult problem or decision. But so what are the realities?
I find making decisions difficult. Because of the result that it may bring, and whether it will cause me to have pleasant feelings or unpleasant feelings.
You expect to have pleasant feelings.
I hope to have pleasant feelings.
Only pleasant feelings, see, everyone.
Yeah.
So it's object of clinging, not understanding that it's conditioned, arising and falling away, uncontrollable.
Mm.
Cling to pleasant things in life. For what? A moment. And it's gone. Never come back. Like yesterday, pleasant feelings.
Thank you. I, for some reason, looking back on yesterday or the past seems easier than looking towards the future.
But it's more difficult. The past, the future, or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And but the truth is the truth.
We still have to plan. I still...
But if you know that planning is only thinking by conditions, only then.
Yeah.
Our last trip to India, from India back to Bangkok, a lady came up. She sat for a while in the plane and died. What's about her plan? Not reaching Bangkok yet.
Was she part of the group?
No.
No,
no.
Someone else.
An Indian lady.
Indian lady.
Yes. Not on the same plane as mine.
Oh,
the other plane.
But yes, one can make beautiful, beautiful plans, and anything can happen any time by, as a result of past karma. Yeah.
So the best thing before leaving this world is understanding.
We still have to make a decision about our next move, but we don't necessarily, I see that we don't need to have an idea of what the result of that move would be, but like I still have to, for instance, book this a flight to Burma, but I'm not necessarily planning on how my trip will be in Burma, but I still have to actually do the action of booking the flight and making that decision on what day I should go, for instance.
To a meditation center?
No. Not now.
Later. We don't know at all, yeah, until time comes. And time cannot come without conditions.
So like even now there may be thinking and deciding, okay, when I get back I'll book for Sunday, and then 5 minutes later there'll be the plan to book on Monday, can change anyway, and it's just different kinds of thinking.
And then I suppose is the, for instance, anxiety I feel about this decision, that's the thinking, that's the clinging.
There are conditions for planning, for thinking, for clinging, for everything. But with right understanding, it's a kind of released, whatever happened.
So obviously my, it's deeply rooted in me, for instance, to have anxiety about making a decision like this. Is that
anxiety is a reality, not you. When it's not there, see? Nothing can make it like that at all.
I think all tendencies we have are deeply rooted. They've all been accumulated. And on the question of the difficulty of making the decision that you were raising, I just wasn't sure whether it's something that you, from your daily life, that's always been there, or whether you're saying it's a difficulty now since you've been studying the Dhamma.
Mm.
or there are difficulties rationalizing that with what you've been discussing here. Was that what you were saying, or talking about a difficulty in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
More difficulty in decision making generally, as I have a tendency to overanalyze things, or I find making decisions generally in life difficult.
And it's partly because we find it so important. There's a lot of attachment. We find it very important. We think it will have this great significance, but we don't know the results, and we don't know how things will go, and so no way of controlling, no way of knowing what past karma will bring, what results.
Mm.
So I think when there is more understanding of dharmas, it's not so important.
And when there is understanding that plan is only thinking, that's all.
Not only planning, but making a decision is just another moment of thinking too.
Yeah.
Because the next minute it can change.
Yes.
Just no self-involved at all, just conditioned dharmas, just thinking this way or that way.
Mm.
It seems like we think about that would happen, but actually it's not.
It doesn't, the decision made somehow affect my life, even in a small way.
How long will your life be? Maybe only this evening. Yeah, but the best thing is to have understanding, no matter how short or how long.
Mm.
Better than no nothing, just cling.
Yes.
How long would you know your life is?
Mm. Again tomorrow? Who knows?
Yeah.
That's true.
But what is next after that?
It all comes down to clinging to self, doesn't it? Finding one's thinking on one's decision so important, and no awareness, no understanding of just thinking as a reality, seeing as reality, hearing as a reality.
I know, I think.
No detachment. Yeah. But it's how it is, it's common, same for everyone.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going around in my head at the moment, is I feel like talking about this, I understand it. I'm starting to understand that it's just very, I'm finding it hard to, I still have that attachment to self, I suppose, and the idea that I need to, it's taking responsibility, it's still me that has to,
just more thinking.
Who takes responsibility? The seeing, or the hearing, or the thinking, or what? Or nothing?
Nothing.
Right.
I thought I had to take responsibility, but now I'm...
You're relieved of that duty.
I'm understanding that it's...
you don't have to do anything anymore?
No.
And who has to balance the faculties? Anyone?
even only one characteristic, for example, hardness or softness experienced at one moment, but actually the body is still there. Well, I mean, the whole rupa still arise and pass away, even unknowingly, and to become the so-called body, as long as still alive.
So, is there any body right now?
There are many rupas arise and pass away at this moment to become this form of body.
Not the whole body.
I think the whole body.
The whole body?
Many
rupa. Do you have the whole body now?
Even unknowingly,
it's not experienced. But you think you have.